Greetings in the Lord. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 23. The Mystery of Christ, Redemption. Scriptures. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to uswards who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1:15-23. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented there night and forever, day and night and forever and ever. Revelation 20, verses 4 to 10. A Psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Psalm 110, 1-7. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Amos 9, verses 10-12. The Judgment. Now, will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff, ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you, and the people shall be as the burnings of lime. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off, what have I done? And ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Isaiah 33:10-14. The answer. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, and waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Isaiah 33:15-18. End scriptures. Two visions. First vision. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the body, glorified, with his veins and his heart flowing with the blood of redemption, even the blood of the covenant. He was joined limb to limb and vein to vein with those of his body, even the church of the living Christ in the mystery of Christ. The blood that coursed through his very veins from his heart flowed down through the very veins and cells of the body of Christ, joint to joint, vein to vein, until the whole of the body was filled with the flowing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in full covenant power. The blood flowed amidst the body unbounded and in absolute purity, for the entire body of Christ was made holy and made pure and white and clean, both by the continual repentance of the individual members of the body, as well as by the purging, cleansing power of the blood of Jesus which flowed unto them. Thus it was that Jesus was a sign, but the body of Jesus in a corporate expression was the fulfillment of that sign. The sign that was Jesus pointed to the sign which was the body of Christ in full measure, with no uncleanness in any member. End vision. Second vision, 1 Peter 2:6-9 says, first, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Upon the earth lay a stone. They who fell upon the stone were consumed by the stone, and they dissolved and disappeared into the stone. Those who saw the stone and were offended by the stone remained apart from it, and they did not become one with the stone, but remained in the world of men, and they came under great tribulation and judgment, because they had not fallen upon the stone. The stone became a mountain. Then the mountain filled the plain. Then the mountain filled the whole of the earth, and men who had first rejected the stone were crushed by the mountain filling the whole of the earth to cover it. Those who had rejected it suffered loss because of their wrong choice, but the mountain still covered them, even those who were righteous. Some of them had also rejected the stone when it was yet small. they too suffered loss because they did not fall upon the stone first to become one with it. End vision. End two visions. Continuing on in the mystery of Christ. In the doctrine that I understand of Christ, I do not personally believe that everyone who believes in Jesus and asks Jesus to come into their lives is part of the body of Christ. I do not see that all believers are part of his true ecclesia, the body of him that fills all in all, or rather, all those at this time who have obeyed the Lord by believing on him. I believe that the body of Christ comprises those who have given their lives as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, not caring who they might be or what might become of them. But because of love for the Lord alone, they lay down their lives. These who comprise the body of Christ are these who abandon everything to be found hid in Christ in God. They do not want to be part of the world or of the world system, nor do they long to be part of the overall judgment that has come to the world. They desire instead to be one with the Lord in all things. These, I believe, are the true members of the body of Christ, not just because of the act of faith and belief. They are overcomers, those destined to rule with Christ upon the victorious throne in eternity. These who are thus are, in my definition, the body of Christ. In the doctrine that I carry as precious and as truth, I see the body of Christ and those who will comprise the church of the living God as being those who obey the Lord and judge themselves. They come out from amongst all others in the earth to be vitally joined to the head, even the Lord Jesus Christ alone. They are not tied in with anything else at all. They have judged their life in the earth as being a life that is not worthy of anything but to be laid down for the sake of he who laid his life down for them. This is the segment of Christendom which came out of Christendom. Those who separated themselves from all that would defile them and contaminate them with false doctrines and words of contradiction and blasphemy about the things of the Lord, such things as fills the world of Christendom in this very hour. The nominal Christian in the earth today, who has not separated themselves from the influence of the world, but who loves the world, are not part of Christ's true body. Those who are contaminated with false doctrine, New Age thought and efforts, lukewarm doctrines which tickle their fancy and fill their ears with pleasurable syllables, are all going to be judged with the world when Christ arises to judge all the nations, the world and all that live within it. Christ himself is going to judge the world of men, and all that man has gained and labored for will be lost. Only those who abandon themselves unto Christ and allowed his spirit to cleanse them of personal iniquity and the filth of the flesh and the carnal mind will be able to emerge as part of his true ecclesia. The rest will not, but will form the second resurrection, which will be the bride for the groom. For I believe in my doctrine that the body of Christ is the groom, and the bride of Christ is the rest at the end of the millennial reign. One must get straight in their minds that the company of those who overcome all things and the body of Christ are indeed the same thing. You cannot be part of the body of Christ and think you are part of the bride at the same time. For the body of Christ is joined vitally to the head, even Jesus Christ. If you were listening to words of prophecy and instruction about becoming one who would overcome and be in the perfect will of the Lord, then you are part of Christ's body in the earth. If you think you are part of the bride of Christ, then you are not part of Christ's body, but part of those who will not be raised until the second resurrection at the end of the millennium. The body of Christ is the groom, which will in that day marry the bride, and in that day all will be one with God, being all in all. Rather, a weak way for me to share my doctrine, but there it is. That is how I perceive the will of the Lord as to regarding the first and the second resurrections. The Lord told Jeremiah that he was going to punish the circumcised with the uncircumcised. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom, and the children of Ammon and Moab, and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Jeremiah 9:25-26. This judgment against the circumcised is for the disobedient ones, they who did not become part of the overcoming company. The true overcomer knows that what the Lord is going to do, he is going to do here on the earth. It is here that the manifestation of the sons of God will happen. It is here that the Lord will reveal those who overcame as Christ overcame, and it is here on this earth that the true sons of God will emerge in glorified bodies in a deathless state, ruling and reigning with Christ forevermore. Albeit the rule will first be for the millennium, the rule will not end. It will continue on into the ceaseless elements of eternity. These who came out now from all else will reign forevermore, even as Jesus the forerunner came out and was raised again incorruptible. These follow perfectly this pattern, son. The world of Christendom is going to suffer a loss because they did not judge themselves and seek to be in a state of abandonment unto the Lord alone. Rather than that, they sought to confer one with another and find the strength of arms one with another and to reinforce one another in their doctrines, even if such doctrines were incorrect or gave a shortcut to the daily processing the Lord requires of us. So then, to simply reinforce this doctrine in the mystery of Christ, I will state that the punishment reserved for the circumcised is for those circumcised not in heart. As you read the above verse, you will see that they manifest the physical outward sign of circumcision, but they did not have it done in the heart, where the flesh is separated from the spirit in you. The question may be asked, is this all there is? For now, yes, this is all there is. There are now simply those who have been cut in the foreskin of their hearts, those who made their determinate effort to be separate unto the Lord with no outward crutches to carry them. These are the ones that will form the two witness company in the earth, and are doing so even now. For the time of their testimony has even begun, not in a literal hour, but in a figurative hour, which truth I will cover later in the mystery of our change. The circumcised who will be judged by the Lord, along with the nations and the whole world, are surrounding you, dear overcomer. No matter where you walk in this day, these are those who may even be very high in kingdom circles. These may be they who are prominently known as true ministry, as the ecclesia with the extra anointing. Yet if you examine them in truth, you will see that they are not circumspect, but fools. They thought they were wise, but no, they fell away into foolish doctrines and curious realms of understanding the deeper things of the Lord. The cross has fallen out of their vocabulary, and the work of redemption is a done deal. Nothing further needs to be worked out. When you test their words, you will note that they feel they have arrived and that they are in that perfect place. The truth is that a true overcomer is still working out their salvation day by day, and they are setting their lives in order before the Lord, judging themselves daily, repenting daily, and still bearing their cross. The circumspect ones are still being identified with Christ as a daily progressive work. They are being brought forth one day at a time into that place wherein their hope is soon to be realized. The uncircumspect ones are stating that they have arrived. Their course is completed. They are the living Christ in the earth. I have heard some of these proclaim that when they worship Christ, they are really worshiping themselves because they are Christ. How uncircumspect is that? The sword of the Lord is dividing the circumcised in heart from those who are not, even in these high places. The true body of Christ is about to arise with the blood of Jesus flowing in their veins. This arising will not be mistaken for anything otherwise. It is going to be the most phenomenal thing to happen in world history since Jesus came forth out of the tomb. The arising of this body will signal the dawning of this kingdom day we have now entered. This day wherein the kingdom of God will consume all other kingdoms, and the ruling Christ upon the throne of eternity will be established upon the tops of the mountains. And the ones who will arise are the ones who are just now are not seen much. These who are hidden away, circumcised in heart, bearing the self-denial process day by day, not advertised out in the open or seen as being anything of significance to the general populace of Christendom. As a fact, these who are thus hidden will be a great surprise to the people in the world and to the circumcised who fell away into the New Age onslaught that is happening in this day, rather than to stay true to the inworked cross. It is then, at the arising of this body, that the true redemptive power of Christ will be openly revealed, for Christ himself will save the inhabitants of the world and purify them even by the blood he shed for them upon Calvary. The world will stop in its tracks. Everything man has made will suddenly collapse completely, but not one soul will perish. All mankind will view the Christ as the head of this body, this giant that God was raising up, and they will know that this body was the fulfillment of the sign. Jesus Christ, born of Mary in Bethlehem all those millenniums ago, was but a sign of that which is to come. His entire life and ministry was to confirm that he alone was indeed Lord. Yet his life also was a sign signifying that which was yet to come. Now a sign is a signal that points to something. That signal that the sign was pointing to is about to arise. And that sign, that signal, was and is the living body of Christ with Jesus as the head. God the Father in the verbal expression of Jesus only spoke part of the sentence. The latter part of the sentence he spoke, he has reserved for our time. For Jesus was the first forerunner. Now the rest of the body will be the finality of the sentence uttered by the Father. The sentence is that just as Christ was a son, so now there is a many-membered son that is rising. It is through this son that the Father will establish his eternal kingdom in the lives of men, that each soul ever created will be thus brought into the kingdom of God throughout the entire earth and cosmos. The sign of the Son of Man, Jesus, was mankind being swallowed up into the kingdom of God through Christ's completed body. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner plunges beneath that flood and loses all their stains. The body that the Lord is raising up will be full of the blood of Jesus, and the body will cleanse everything that lays in death in this earth. These are not simply light words that we have as a hope year after year after year. This is a true explanation of what is sure to come, even in our time. For the Lord has signified that his kingdom dominion has come now to this earth. The hour is past midnight. The daylight is about to spring forth, and the earth will hear the song of the redeemed. Dear overcomer, you who are reading these pages, you are part of this body that is being raised up. Even you who stand as a testament to the daily dealings and scourgings of Christ, know that the mystery of Christ will be revealed through you, and through you will flow his blood, even the blood of the everlasting covenant. Are you worthy? No, but his blood is cleansing you to make you worthy. His sword is still circumcising the flesh of the foreskin of your heart, and you are being made one with him in all things, including the flowing of his redemptive blood. Such is the honor bestowed on those who have made themselves of no reputation. Even so, let it be, Lord, unto us as your body. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.